Mr. Batson, Reel 4. Now, we're talking about your time at HMS Hornet, and one thing you did were these... you took place in mock air raids or raids, where you were acting as a guard to the entrance of a base and various other things. Can you tell that story?
Yes, that was at Hornet.
What happened?
I was given a Thompson submachine gun and told to patrol up and down outside the gate. And it led up from the docks past HMS Hornet, and there was a chap under escort, and he was covered in bandages. I think they were only his blooming eyes showing, and all the top half of his body and his arms and everything was all bandaged up. And he was in the middle of this escort, and there must have been 8 or 9 people guarding him, and they come marching up from the landing stage up towards Asler Hospital, which was right behind. And as they passed me, I could see this chap, he winked at me as he went by. And I thought, well, my neck, he's all bandaged up and yet he's got time to wink at people. And he went marching off up the road. And between the gate where I was guarding an hospital, it must have been 500 or 600 yards. And I can't remember the distances, but next thing you know, there was a clatter of boots and people come running back. Have you seen him? Where is he? And I said, I don't know. I've not seen anybody. He says, there's some of his escort coming back down past where they'd come up looking for this chap. He's escaped. So I went back inside to tell the PO in charge of the gate, like, what had happened. He said, well, you better go out and have a look for him again. And, do you know, there was pandemonium all over the place. And between our gate and Asler Hospital, it must have been 300 or 400 yards, possibly more. You lose the length of time, even if you could judge it accurately, even if it was there before you now, you wouldn't be able to say for dead certain. But they never found this chap, and yet he'd escaped from an armed escort and got away out of their way, and nobody ever found him. And they were searching, they sent me and some more out of the barracks down into the dock area to I think it was called Gunboat Yard, just below there, and they sent me and some more down there to have a look around for him, and we never found him. So if it was a put up job or whatever it was, I've no idea, but they never found him.
Now, anything else about your time at Hornet? You weren't there long, were you, before you were sent to the ML-306?
That's it.
Is it anything else before you joined that?
No, except that on the food situation, I forget what they call it, mess catering or something, you had so much allowance. With small boats, you're in and out of harbour all different times.
Hang on, is this when you were on the ML-306?
No, before.
Carry on, sorry.
This is on it. And you had so much a day per man. You didn't get the money in the hand, but the chap in charge of your particular mess was, you had to spend so much, and then what was left over at the end of the month, they paid it out in a kind of dividend. Or kept it for the next lot, and depending who, and they come round and said, sign here. I'd only been there a few days, and I signed, and I think they gave me about 12 and 6, which that was a pretty good cash of money. And it was said, what's this for? It was what had been saved out of the catering for our particular mess. And when you got up in the morning, you could go down, and if there was enough money in the kitty, you could happen to have 2 eggs instead of just one, and so on. And with people coming and going all the time, and people going out to sea and missing the meals like that, this is how this money had accrued. And I got this here, bit of a bonus, about 12 and 6 or whatever, I can't remember, but I know it was a lot of money at that time. And I thought, well, this is a pretty good idea. We enjoyed it. And after that, shortly got sent up to Burslesdon, which is quite close by, between Portsmouth and Southampton. It was up a back river. Burslesdon was actually...
Is that the one on the Hamble, near Southampton?
Hamble, that's it, yeah.
And this is where you joined which
joined
one?
The ML306. And it was a brand new boat, and I was one of the last to join it.
And that would be January?
Yeah.
1942.
That's it.
And could you give me a description of the boat? Because I mean, I know that not a lot of people know what these motor launches were like. Now, what could you just describe what it was like?
There on the front page of the book, there's a picture of it.
But if you could describe what it was like above and below decks, you know, I mean.
Well, they brand new, mostly made from mahogany, and. Everybody thought that they could go at great speeds, but they couldn't. We could only do about 20 to 22 knots at the most.
Is that all?
I don't think we could even do that. But we had a good motor mechanic, and he come from London, and he looked after the boat pretty well. But of course, with it being brand new, there wouldn't be a lot to look after at that time.
Why were they so slow?
I think the makers would like to know that, because they had these petrol engines, and it was made to go as fast as whatever they could. But the design of the engine and the shape of the boat looked like, at a distance, it looked like a destroyer. You know, a silhouette of an ML would look like a destroyer a long way off. And we couldn't go very fast. I think it was kept pretty dark as to how fast they could go, because the German E-boats at that time were very fast, and they were a lot faster than our boats, but because they were more or less it was a fast, small boat, the German E-boats, yeah.
So,
I think they kept the speed of these things 18, 20 knots, you'd say, for an ML, whereas the German E-boats would be anything up to getting on for 30.
Now, what armament did they carry?
Mine had a Rolls-Royce 2-pounder aft, which I was in charge of, and the gun itself was built like a Rolls Royce itself. Everything was done up just like a Rolls Royce would be. The spare parts and the tool kit was in a big box, and it had a green velvet lining, just as you'd expect from a Rolls-Royce motor. And although there was only a single shot gun, the pretty slow, but if you got a good loader, you could get quite a few shots.
And you fired it?
Yes, I was the one in charge of it.
And that was your action station?
Yeah.
Now, what other guns did they have aboard, or what other weapons?
I think it was called an Hotchkiss. It was a 2-3-pounder forward. That was a single-shot breech-loading gun that was on the forward part of the ship.
Any other weapons?
He had two twin Lewis guns, an Ormond's projector which fired an hand grenade farther than you could throw it. It used to look like a stovepipe on a stand, actually. You drop the thing in. It was in a canister. The hand grenade was in a canister. You pulled the pin out, and the canister stopped it going off. And then when you fired, it released itself out of the canister and went quite away.
Anything else?
We had rifles and things like that.
Now, who was your captain?
Henderson.
What was he like?
He was a nice chap. He was an ex.
Do you remember his first name? Or
no.
So he'd be Lieutenant Henderson?
Yeah, Lieutenant.
What was he like as a skipper?
Very good, because in private life he had his own. Before the war and that, he had his own yacht, and he's a member of the yacht club job, and he knew a lot about sailing. He's a really good skipper. I believe he was, what do they call it on the stock exchange? What kind of a name did he have for that?
Stockbroker.
Yeah, a stockbroker or something similar.
And who? What other officers or?
Lieutenant, sub lieutenant Philip Dark.
What was Philip Dark like then?
He was a fairly tall chap, and he was pretty strict on anything he did or said. He used to try and keep a stiff upper lip at all times, you know, that kind of man.
And the rest of the crew, well, do you have a petty officer or a leading seaman? What was the whole crew, if you run through them all that you remember?
Yeah.
How many were there, for a start?
Including myself, there was 13, but on the actual raid, we had an extra officer, Sub-Lieutenant Landy.
What was he like? Or was that the only time you met him?
When we were doing training up to going on to Centre's Air, pretty good, athletic type of chap, and he was an Australian or a New Zealander, I can't just remember which, I think he was a New Zealander, and the coxswain was a leading seaman. And he was from a well-to-do family, I believe, but he was...
Do you remember his name?
Garner was the other gunner. Sergeant. Leading seaman sergeant. And he was training to be an officer. He was just on our boat for experience, I think, before he went in for being an officer.
Any other people in the crew you particularly remember?
I can remember all in bits and pieces, but the another seaman was Arthur Shepherd from Leicester. We had a chap that joined us as a cook. Can't think of his name.
Okay, don't worry too much.
Llewellyn was an ASDICS operator.
Who's that?
Llewellyn.
Another ordinary seaman?
He was a Welshman, and in the Centre's Air Raid, he had his... When the German destroyer hit us, it knocked him overboard, and he had his toes cut off with the propeller of either our boat or the German boat. I don't know which, because everything was over.
We'll come back to that, yeah. Any others that you remember?
Adam Ritchie, he was a greengrocer from near Edinburgh. He was a stoker, but he was my number two loader on the gun.
You're number two? You mean...
He loaded my gun. I was firing the gun and he...
You were number one, he was number two.
Yeah.
What was he like, Adam Ritchie?
He was getting on a bit. He's one of the oldest men on board. In fact, I think he was the oldest. And he's a nice chap, Scotchman. And he came to visit us after the war. But see, from the time as we were taken prisoner, we all got split up our boat. And
any others you remember then? Or is that about it, by name?
No, there was... Garner. Yeah, he was a gunner on the forward gun, but that got taken off and we had an Ehrlichan put on for that. So he was an Ehrlichan gunner on that.
Well, that'll do for now. So what was ship's morale like? I mean, as a crew, did you get on well together?
Yes, I... And the radio operator, you see, his name slipped my memory again.
It's all right.
But he was a New Zealander, and he was pretty happy-go-lucky, a nice chap to be with at all times.
Now, they had a nickname for you, didn't they? Of hollow legs.
Yeah, because I used to eat that much stuff they used to say. I'd got to have all the legs to put it all away.
I mean, did they really call you that, or was that just a joke?
It was a joke, but every now and again they'd call me that.
Yeah. Now, so, what were you doing? How did you settle into the crew? It was a new crew, was it?
Yes, it was all... See, it was a new boat.
And what was your sort of shaking down procedure?
We'd go out to sea and do one or two runs round until it was past fit for the Admiralty to take over from the boat builders, and then after that we were more or less a crew.
Were there any problems during the sea trials?
No. There were some very shortly after, but none while we were on trial.
What were the problems you had afterwards?
Well, we once went out from Falmouth out to do a bit of escorting, because that was our job, escorting convoys and odd ships up and down the coast. And as we went out, the weather gradually got worse, and the sea suddenly became empty. There was nobody kicking about. Everybody had made back to port. And so we started making his way back to port, and it was the worst sea I've been in, I should imagine. There were 30-foot waves. It's hard to believe, but it's true. One minute you're right up in the air, next minute you're down amongst the fishes. And it blew the forward gun. It got that rough that it knocked the forward gun off the mountain. This Hotchkiss, I think it was 2-pounder, but it could have been... I can't remember the exact name of it, but... because I wasn't on that gun, and I should have known, but I don't.
Doesn't matter.
And it knocked the gun off the mountain. And so the skipper got everybody together and said, as many men as can, like, come and try and hold this gun down. Because as it came off the mountain that it was on, it bashed a hole in the deck. And that's what stopped it going overboard, I think. We still had to tie it down. So the first lieutenant and Garnham and two or three more of the lads was tying this gun down on the deck with ropes, and everybody was in our skins. You couldn't tell who was who, and you didn't have a lot of time to think anyway. And I nudged this chap next to me, which I thought was Gardner. I said, I wonder where Jimmy the One is now. And it was actually him as I was nudging.
That was Jimmy the One.
Yeah, I didn't know. But we managed to tie the gun down and limp back into port. And everybody thought that we'd been in action with the all these different crews that were in Falmouth waiting for us to get back. Thought we'd been in action with the gun being off its mounting and lashed down, and they thought Jerry had had a go at it. Instead of that, it was just a rough sea.
Now, you were on coastal force duties, coastal duties, weren't you?
Yeah.
What exactly were you doing?
Escorting ships up and down. Whatever we got ordered to do, we had to go out and do it. And we'd go to right the way down from up and down from Southampton right to the Land's End, Cornwall. Cornwall. We went to Penzance, Falmouth, Scilly Isles, they're all well-known places on the
Brixham.
Brixham on the Cornish coast.
And to get, you were with 28th Flotilla, weren't you?
Yeah.
And did anything ever happen on these trips, or were they, you know, I mean, was there any action?
Not, no, we had a Jerry plane come round once while I was near Plymouth, and I was on the Gun Mountain, but by the time I could swing round to where he was, he'd gone. It was I should say it was a German fighter plane. But we never had a chance to fire at him, because by the time I'd swung round to where he was coming, he'd gone. But we never saw any action like that.
Now, while your motorboat was being repaired, you were sent back to Whale Island for a course. Do you remember that? I mean, what was that like?
Yes. When we got back, they sent the... I only ever had one weekend leave, and that was while I was at Ganges. And I should have been due for some leave any time after joining the boat, but I didn't get any. And when we got back to port, they sent half the crew off on leave, and I was sent back to Whale Island for a rerun on different guns. And actually, they concentrated on Oerlikon guns. And we did a hell of a lot of training on that. And when I got back to the ship, there'd been these two new Oerlikon guns fitted, one forward and one aft. They'd take my Rolls Royce off. And the Hotchkiss gun, the breech loader.
So you now just had Oerlikons at the front and back?
Yeah, and the Lewis guns and all the other small guns like that we had as well.
And what did you think of that? Were you happier with the Oerlikon, or would you rather have stuck with the Rolls Royce?
Oh, no, I'd soon had the Oerlikon, yeah. It fired a lot faster, and you could get a lot more shells off.
Now, while you were, you'd begun to pick up rumours or an inkling that something was happening. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's when we had the commandos on board. They came down and joined our boat one day, and there was 14 commandos. And it so happened that all the commandos that came on the raid, ours was the only one that had number one commando. All the rest was either from number two or number three commando, and they were on different boats. But on average, on the MLs, they had about 14 men posted into each of the crews of the boats that were going on the raid.
And did they actually go out with you and train with you for a while?
Yes,
Now, another thing was you got extra fuel tanks fitted. Did you notice that? I mean,
yeah. They were fitted at the same time as the Ehrlichan guns to carry extra fuel. And the rumour was that we was going out to the Mediterranean.
What caused that rumour?
It was deliberately caused to put anybody off that were doing a bit of spying round the...
How was it caused? Harbors. How did they create the rumour?
By sending, the sun helmets, pith helmet things, and naval wear that you wore in the Mediterranean, in the hot climates. But they sent pith helmets out, and they stuck out a mile. You know, anybody seen one of them, they'd know that it was, they weren't going to be patrolling around England if you go on them on.
And the last clue was when you were sent to get a galley part and you were escorted by an officer. Can you tell me about that?
They wanted some new parts for the gas stove. That was acting a bit funny. And they sent Lieutenant Philip Dark with me. And just to get a few new nozzles and things for the gas stove, I thought, well, why should he come with me, you know, because I don't know anything to tell anybody, even if I was going to be a spy. And he was with me all the time. And till we'd got the parts and to come in back. So that was another reason why we thought it was something more than a normal shipping out to the Mediterranean, you know. There's something funny going off here.
So what happened next, then?
Well, that's when we went out to training with the commandos. And
where were you sent to train with them? Or was it just in the Falmouth area?
Yes, and we made a special mock-up raid of the raid to Devonport Dockyard. It was arranged that we should go and tick all our commandos and raid the dockyard in Devonport. And when we got near, just on the outskirts of Dockyard, everything all lit up just like daylight. All the searchlights around Devonport all lit up and shone on us and picked us out just like, well, as you would if you was concentrating a searchlight onto all these small ships coming in. They didn't actually know we weren't the enemy, but they must have known something, because there were no gunfire to, in that respect. But the commandos had a great time ashore, tying these soldiers up and fighting with them, running up and down coal heaps and things like that. They wondered what was going off. And the commandos actually captured one of the shore-based establishment, one of the defenders, and took him back with us to Falmouth, and took him 3 or 4 days, like, from us making the raid to let him go in Falmouth with a note that one of the commandos had signed, supposedly to come from Lord Mountbatten, who was chief of the forces. He'd been made commander of all the Navy, such as commando raids and things like that. I forget what it is.
Yeah, the combined forces.
Yeah.
Person. Do you think the practice raid on Devonport had been a success?
No, we'd have been wiped out easy. You know, if Chad had been...
Because they'd caught you with the searchlight.
Yes, as soon as we got anywhere near. And it was a farce, really, although it was training for the commandos running ashore and things like that. And, I mean, this was a fisticuffs with the defenders of Devonport, and they didn't know more about it than what we did.
Now, You mentioned Falmouth. Had you moved to Falmouth, or were you still based at Burslingdon?
No, once we got the boat, we came out of Burslingdon into Falmouth, and that was our base. 28th Flotilla was based at Falmouth.